Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Boy, man, how are you feeling?
I'm not as bad as that.
You were dreadful yesterday.
But now though. I've started speaking at a more presenter-like level. My throat's already being like, Do you want to do that?
Do you want to lock it? I've got some in my drawer.
I don't know. They make my teeth hurt.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Is it the sugar?
I think so. Like anything kind of lemon sippy or sugary like that. I can only one a day, and I've maxed out already today. But I'm on everything. Don't worry, folks. Every medication you want to suggest to me, which is very nice, because that just says to me you're thinking about me. But I've already taken it. I'm one step ahead of you.
You are drugged up to the nines. Even Val was trying to like pass on some of her own medication to you.
Yeah, so someone, Lady Dinah, I think her name is, on Discord, she was like, hey, you want it? You know what really helps? Ginger and lemon in, you know, sort of heat that up in hot water. I was like, who do you think I am? It's the first thing I did. But she then said, peanut butter tea.
Huh.
Put peanut, and I was like, how the hell does that work?
Well, put peanut butter into tea.
Put like a dollop of peanut butter into a mug. Pour hot water on it.
Oh.
Swish.
So peanut butter and hot water, not peanut butter tea.
And then maybe some honey as well. Yeah, so I don't know how. I haven't tried that. But
I've got some
peanut butter.
I've got some in my drawer if you want to try it.
That's okay. I'll try with my home peanut butter.
Oh, mate, but you know, it's more live stream content. Ollie Davis tries peanut butter tea.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been all right, mate. Although, listeners of the podcast will know this. I had the same thing that you had. And it turns out now Laurie has it as well. Laurie's gone home for the day because he is unwell.
We've got to stop tongue kissing as greetings.
I had it last week.
Yeah, I think Simon had it first.
Housemate Simon passed it on to me.
Nice one, Simon.
And then I've then since passed it on to you, and you've since passed it on to Laurie.
Hey, did I pass it on to Laurie?
Well, that seems to be like...
I've seen him once, very briefly yesterday, when this was full on.
Yeah.
Or is it the guy he lives with?
Okay, which I think is a very, very fair assessment. However, Simon's okay now, and Laurie's only just got unwell, which would suggest to me that you have passed it
on
to
him. That's not how illnesses work. It's not like, oh, I'm at peak illness, yours now. It's like, I probably got this last Thursday. And then it really started to get bad Sunday. Laurie probably got it on Saturday when Simon admittedly was at his worst.
Yeah.
That's when he said, you're making me lose my voice already. I sound like Jerry Seinfeld.
But I was at my worst on Saturday. I couldn't get out of bed. Yeah. I didn't sleep very well. And I was just... My wife, bless her heart, she did some breakfast for me. She was just hiding around me while I was just in bed going... I can't get out of bed. And it was just, I kept saying, I was like, why am I ill on my day off? Of all the times to be unwell. Because, fun fact, listeners, since I started working at WrestleTalk, I've only had one day off ill. Thank you kindly. There have been times where I thought, maybe I could take a day off, but there's content to be made.
And usually on those days, you still do something.
Oh yeah, I watched
that one day.
I watched Survivor Series 1998 for Patreon. But yeah, I was ill on my day off. So it wasn't great, but I'm feeling better now. I'm still a bit bunged up, I find, that when I speak for a while, I can still feel like my nose being very much clogged, which I think comes across in my voice and narration. And then, yeah, I was massively hungover on Monday because I got hammered on the Sunday.
Yeah, what did you do on the Sunday?
So you recall we talked about this. My sister-in-law's launching a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So we had some drinking.
Not her story, but Sistery History.
Sistery History podcast.
Do you think, hey, if anyone goes and checks that podcast out, you should say Ollie sent you.
You can certainly
Not
say
Luke.
That. Yeah, you can certainly go there and say that Ollie sent you.
I'm sure there's a huge crossover of wrestling fans and people who want to learn about the feminine side of history.
Badass women in history. Yeah. I think there is. I think we've got a very mindful audience that would like to know about these sorts of things that aren't written about in history books. Mm. The podcast is very good. It's excellent, in fact.
Joe Rogan's got this fantastic piece in his most recent stand-up special where he says, like, you know, I'm on your side, women. That, like, you know, I believe people should be judged as people, not by their gender or any other criteria. We're all humans here. Having said that, you got to start inventing stuff. Because I look back and you've invented like two things. Hopefully this podcast can remedy that.
That's exactly it.
There are
it.
A
yeah,
lot well, more well, inventions.
I'll pass it on to Joe Rogan, so I'm sure he'll have time to listen to it. Maybe you could try and wade in on this person's issues. This comes from Matthew, who says, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and the rest of the gang, but certainly not Handy Randy Fapson. So I just realized that SmackDown Live was coming to San Antonio, Texas on July 2nd, but I'd already bought my Spider-Man Far From Home ticket at 7 p.m. that
Ooh.
Night. Did I make the right decision?"
I think you did, mate. Yeah.
It's from Fox in Texas.
We've got a policy here that might be about 2 years out of date, but I don't think it is based because Val said she went to the WWE live events, TV Raw this week.
Yes,
in
but
London.
Can we also rewind the week previous when Val had talked about if we were going to go to the Raw
yeah,
tapings
yeah, yeah.
and we said no because we've been to them before and they're really boring. She's like, but it's wrestling and it's in London and it's exciting. And we're like, I'd love your enthusiasm, Val, but TV tapings are very boring. So fast forward a week where she then went to a TV taping.
And she said, yeah, it's what I would expect. Yeah, so like, you know, Progress, Rev Pro, definitely. Yeah. Love, like, anything else.
Absolutely.
If TNA were over, I'd definitely go and see an Impact show.
Or a WWE house show.
Yeah, or that's it. Like, the house shows, you're going to have fun at. But, and I have had a lot of fun. I'd only ever seen house shows up until about 2 years ago when me and you went to that terrible episode of Raw. And I was just
Dean
like...
Dean Ambrose was wacky GM for the night.
Yeah, and you just have to watch these poor wrestlers stand in a dark ring for 4 minutes while they do a commercial.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense because it's a pre-taped show. Why can't they just insert the ad breaks in later?
I don't know. Like we do with WrestleTalk.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that's our kind of policy. If it's a TV taping, it's going to be... Maybe if you've never been to a TV taping, just go to satisfy that urge, to scratch that itch. Because there is actually quite a lot of pomp and circumstance. But they don't even have pyro these days.
No.
They had pyro back when we went.
Absolutely. Thank you to Darren as well for sending in your fantasy booking warfare scenario. Can't read it out here because it's quite long. But this comes in from the Diamond Crusader that says, "Ahoy, Luke, Ollie, etc. but not Randy Bully Datsun. After hearing how Ollie solves his unibrow problem, I was shocked. Why is he going through unimaginable pain to remove a few strands of hair? I just use my razor, the same razor I used to shave my head to get rid of the strands of hair that's been growing between my eyebrows. You should try it, Ollie, unless you are legit trying to legit into the painful bonding experience with your lady partner."
Yeah, well, I used to, before I had a lady partner who would do these things for me, I used to shave. But I never used to shave the middle because that would like create bristles quite quickly. Like, I guess I'd have to do that every 2 days or whatever.
Yeah.
Plus, I'd always end up getting... they'd be misshapen. But I could... So the bits on the under part of the eyebrow, I would use a razor there. But I'd cut myself a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was going to make another point. So the most painful way, like plucking is a walk in the park, compared to threading.
Now, I've only heard of threading via an ex-girlfriend of mine. who would get her eyebrows threaded. I can't say eyebrows today. Mm. Eyebrows. Her eyebrows threaded. And she and her university friend would then walk home with their hands over their eyebrows because they were just so red mm-hmm. from soreness mm-hmm. that it was ludicrous and they looked like idiots.
Yeah, so it's I believe it's a Middle Eastern practice where you have the person doing it to you has two bits of thread and they twist it round and round their fingers so it's really, really taut, and then they will sort of dip in and pluck your eyebrows effectively, but not with tweezers, with the sort of gaps in between the string, but they can get large strips at a time. So it's unbearably painful. And I did it for a while. Like I would go there once a week, me and my friend, when we moved to Wood Green, and we just had to stop because it hurt so much. And we both cried the first time it happened, just from pain. Not like from a sort of physical reaction. Sometimes, yeah. You know, when they get hit in the nose, it's hard not to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. This one comes in from Jaren. I thought you might be interested in this one. It says, hello all. One of my best friends, Brandon, has an aunt that we'll call Auntie J. She was medically considered to be obese 7 years ago. She didn't eat anything ridiculously unhealthy, but lack of activity and side snacking got the best of her. Whenever I'd see her, she took extremely uncomfortable and sweaty. I'm talking to Shane McMahon levels of water. In about early 2013, she got a job as a customer service agent for a phone company. The call center was about 35 minutes walk from her apartment building, so she figured it would be a good thing to walk to her job every now and again. She didn't walk all the time. Sometimes she took the bus, and even at her job, she would just sit in a chair and answer the phone calls, but she was committed to walking off the pound. It took about 4 years, but after hiking to work almost every day, Auntie J went from what she says was 340 pounds to 205 pounds. Her diet didn't change dramatically and didn't do any vigorous activity at work. She still shed the pounds. Pixar, it didn't happen, so please see the image attached of before and after of her, and Ollie, please stop undermining people's achievements, dedication, and life goals. Shaking head emoji, judgmental look emoji. And there are the pictures of Auntie J before and after.
That's
where
remarkable.
She just did walking as exercise.
Okay, so I'm going to clarify my position here, because I brought this up again with my lady partner over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference between... Okay, so exercise is a mindful act, I would say. That is your one thing that you're doing. There is a difference between exercise and an active lifestyle. So what you've explained to me there is an active lifestyle. And that's incredible. I'm not belittling that in the slightest. I'm saying it's not exercise. It's an active lifestyle. We're all on the same page, really. It's just semantics. But congratulations to your Aunt Jaren Walker.
Yes. This comes in from Robert. I thought I would save this one until Randy got in. This says, good afternoon, Luke, and a big hello from Philadelphia. If you do get merch, please let the first two be Control C, Control V, Aha, and Mecha News, because I've been getting some emails from people. Because actually, in the poll for Randy Datsun merch we've had in the Super Chats, there's been very little for merchandise from me, which is fair enough. I don't, you know, no one wants it, no one wants it.
But and it's hijacked, but
there are
why.
Yeah, but there are people who have been emailing in. But I wanted to let you know, because he said, also, if you do get to read this, tell Randy that he's wrong for saying, I'm wrong for saying that I hate Liverpool FC, Everton, CYOB, hashtag sport.
Ah. Okay.
Sports. I've got a sports story.
Oh, before we get on to that, this comes in from the mayor of Painsville. Says, hi, guys. You know I like everyone at WrestleTalk. Every writer, host, every fan. Awesome community from top to bottom. But...
Uh-oh.
Randy Datsun deserves every bad treatment he gets because he's mean online in a lame attempt to try to be WrestleTalk's top heel. Stop it, Randy, or I'll change your Discord name to Randy Dandy Datsun, signed Dan.
Sorry, Dan.
It's a feud.
It's a thread.
I only aim it at Pete, and it's just because
I logged into Twitter Pete on the new Sunday, guy. And there was just like, in case you missed it. And it was just three different things that Pete had said, not related to each other. And Randy had replied to every single one of them with, you suck. And it was just the funniest screenshot I could possibly grab. And I was like, this heel persona thing is either getting out of hand or it's incredibly lazy.
Well, the thing is, it's just because Pete, I was the new guy for so long. And now Pete's the new guy. So I feel like I have to bully him.
But surely
like
Simon's
the
new guy.
No, but Simon's older than... I mean, Simon's a lot older than... Not, like, loads older. But Pete's
he's
only...
He's a bigger boy!
Pete's only, like, a year older than me. So I feel like I can... And he's a lot shorter than me, so...
Oh, okay.
Well,
so it's physical folks. Bullying. Be yeah. a star. Anyway, we're going to crack into the show talking about this week's SmackDown Live, where it looks like, wild card, I guess, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. There's not a lot to talk about on this week's show. I do apologize for this main topic of chat. Here's the show.
Let's get into one of the matches that's on the show that was built on this SmackDown episode, the Go Home episode for Money in the Bank. That I would say, you know, left me. I wasn't still on the boil. I was kind of put in the fridge once you made the food.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at temperature-wise for the show now.
Yeah, I thought this SmackDown show was very fine.
You know what it felt like? It felt like a Raw replay.
Yeah, it did. I mean, there was one almost like copy and paste segment. But it was like, and this is a very, very silly analogy that I'm going to go with. But there was an old sort of desktop game called TEW, which was a wrestling management game where you would book shows. And the original version of that, EWR, was very much just like, book these matches. TEW took it into a very like molecule where you would essentially book shows minute by minute. And then you would spend...
Atom by atom.
So you would spend hours booking Raw, and then you would spend hours booking SmackDown because it took so long to arrange things and sort storylines out. And then it was, but I was like, I'm exhausted. And you're already mentally planning Raw and SmackDown. And then it would be like, now you've got to do Heat as well. And you go, oh, do you know what? I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
I'm just going to book one match that lasts an hour.
Yeah.
That's what this SmackDown show felt like at one point. That middle match, I was like, they're just going to have this run until the end of the show.
That's nothing new. Pre-WrestleMania, gauntlet match.
Yeah, gauntlet match.
That's 1 hour of the show sorted. We don't have to do anything else. But yeah, I guess this was kind of doubled up with the Sami Zayn involvement on the previous night, but one of the distinct feuds, I would say, from Raw, where everything else is kind of blended, is the WWE Championship picture, Kofi Kingston versus Kevin Owens this Sunday, and they got the big go-home angle here, which was where it's the Kevin Owens show, Kofi is the guest, but KO's kind of introducing it backstage,
yeah,
in a locker room kind of promo. Not locker room, but there's just a great gate behind him. And he's saying how he might break Kofi's leg on Sunday, but then he's interrupted by, oh, New
it's
Day.
It's a New Day. Yeah. That who's... classic intro to their song.
New Day. Who's doing that now?
Well, that's a bit pre-recorded. So Big E's
not just phoning in. No, so Big E, not Skype him.
No, but that's the way it always is. Big E just does the, oh, Seattle, don't you dare be sour, clap. And then as soon as it ends that, but the It's a New Day, Yes It Is just part of the theme song.
Okay. But so Kofi sort of interrupts that part, and that plays out this main event segment structure where Kofi has stepped on the KO shows his toes, really. He's just hanging out with the two like comfy chairs there. KO comes down. He's like, we're going to fight. He doesn't fight. So Kofi goes up the ramp to fight him. And then out of nowhere, Sami Zayn appears.
Who I think by this point was the sixth wild card of the evening.
So Miz wasn't a wild card because he was Shane butted that, and the Usos count as one.
But there's also Lacey Evans. They were still...
She...
Oh, no, yeah, that would make four then, I guess. You're right. I thought the Usos might count as two, but I don't know.
Look,
I don't know what the rules are. And we're still unclear of what Shane's role plays in all of this.
Yeah, yeah. Everything else is fluid, apart from every week I can make an argument that there's only been four official wild card moves. And this one, again, is okay.
You are.
Trust me. When they step over that four limit, I'm going to open up a can of whoops.
You are a solid Pritchard in this scenario. Yeah. It's very impressive.
They're following their rules. That one rule about the no more than four official people.
Yeah.
They're following.
Well, Todd Phillips did say last week it could be numerous people or a number of people.
So when Owens and Kofi are brawling, and then you don't really, I certainly didn't know who it was at first when this other person jumped Kofi, and then quite quickly, like, oh, look, it's Sami Zayn. Todd Phillips said on commentary, it's the fourth wild card. I just thought that was so lame.
That's great. They get into a scuffle in the ramp. Xavier Woods tries to run down. Kofi told him earlier in the night not to get involved in this business because he's not 100%. Mm-hmm. And Owens then quickly dispatched of him. And then Owens cut a very, like, he didn't cut a promo, but he was just screaming in Kofi Kingston's face. Like, he pinned him down into the corner, was just screaming in his face about how he's going to win on Sunday. And, like, it's his title. This is his moment. And he'd played a video package for himself, like, in his little interview segment, mm. which was really cool, kind of recapping that when he debuted on the main roster in 2015, he instantly made a statement. So he didn't take him 11 years to make a name for himself in this business. He instantly made a name for himself by then losing his feud to John Cena.
Yeah. It's great to airbrush history sometimes. It was a great video package.
We'll get to that with the Becky Lynch video as well. Mm-hmm. This was a really cool little scuff, and I loved Owens like just shouting at Kofi.
He's so good at that.
But the problem was he got too overconfident and tried a cannonball. Kofi got out of the way of that. He dispatched of Owens and then hit the Trouble in Paradise on Sami Zayn after he missed a Huluva kick, so he stood tall to stare off. I thought this was actually a really solid final build for their match on Sunday.
Yeah, not a super hot thing, not like a cliffhanger edge of your seat angle, but I agree.
Yeah.
I want to see the match this Sunday now, especially with the Sami Zayn involvement.
Yeah.
I do think that is interesting to have this cross-brand partnership, really,
yeah,
that might exploit the wild card rule. And I know they've been together and apart and feuding, but I am so invested in the KO Zayn or the Steen Generico, even though Generico was a completely different person.
Totally different person.
Long-lasting thing. I just like seeing them together.
Yeah. It was like when they were fighting alongside each other tonight, and I said this in my review, it was actually really nice just seeing them together again. So I'm all for that. It kind of sucks that they are on different brands, but I suppose technically they're not because they could just be a wild card all the time. So yeah, I thought it was a good, and it's this sort of segment. It was this the Becky and Charlotte video package and the men's four way actually that actually elevated my score this week, because otherwise I was like, God, this was a pretty standard smack bang in the middle show. But that actually, like these three segments, where I was like, do you know what? I did like enough of this.
Mm. Yeah, that's what you want, isn't it? You just want to like enough of it.
Yeah.
Now I think Kofi, as you said, stood tall at the end of this. He has been booked so strongly.
So strong.
Like, I really have no complaints. If anything, I would like for him to have been beaten down here.
Yeah.
And then that's the sort of intrigue going into the pay-per-view this Sunday. But so no qualms with Kofi. Love how he's been booked. Xavier, however, I really... Like, Xavier is so talented and such a fundamental part of the Kofi Kingston character and push and championship win, as is Big E, but Big E's very sadly injured. I just feel like Xavier is being used as a prop rather than a character.
Do you not think they are dropping in subtle moments in here to kind of like build to a storyline down the line? Because Kevin Owens said in his promo, Xavier's not the champion. Big E's not the champion. Kofi is the champion.
Yeah.
And I'm facing him on Sunday. And Kofi has been kind of always telling Woods to stay back. Last week, he said, don't come out. You know, and when he did come out, it's like, I told you to stay in the back. This week, again, he's telling him to stay in the back. This could be some Kevin Owens, not Kevin Owens manipulation, but Kevin Owens could use a lot of this to manipulate Woods and be like, look, Kofi's outgrown you. He's outgrown this act. He needs to, and like tease a possible split of the New Day, a possible Xavier Woods heel turn, only for the big triumphant moment when Woods sticks alongside his brother. And they, because I'm not doing a Big E heel turn or I'm not doing a New Day heel turn. And Woods unites as a super baby face alongside Kofi. And that could be your next month's worth of storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, and a tag feud with Owens and Zayn. Yeah, no, you're right. You've convinced me there. Plus the idea of Kofi going into this Sunday alone.
Yeah.
Is a huge part of this storyline, and maybe the hook that's meant to make you believe that Owens might win. I love Xavier so much. I just wish he didn't have to play second fiddle. Like, yeah. I felt Kofi had so much momentum coming out of Mania, which they've capitalized on brilliantly. I don't think they've done the same with Xavier.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
But that's nitpicking. It is all very good. But yeah, that's the SmackDown's biggest match for this Sunday.
Yes, I mean, it's for the title, so yeah, I suppose it is their biggest match this Sunday. You sure it's not the tag match with Brian and Rowan versus
Raw's pre-show? Well, going to be the most watched, so yeah, you can make an argument for it.
Dig, normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. We got some Patreon shout outs to do before we get out of here. So thank you. They are only known as hashtag Team LOL.
Yeah. Michael Plowman, that's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, Adrian. Rocky.
Yeah.
You seem Rocky.
Nope.
Okay.
Yo, Adrian!
What was the show you said you haven't seen yesterday either? Oh, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I'm going to start watching that.
That's though. Okay, though.
The thing is, I'm midway through Office season, American Office, which is like 300 episodes on that, so yeah. I'm really trying to get through. Anyway, carry on.
I started Veep last night. That is tremendous.
I started Fleabag.
Oh, that's meant to be really good. That's my next one.
Is it really? Yeah. I finished the first series of it yesterday. It's good.
Oh,
excuse my overall review. It's good. It's very funny.
Naughty Nathan Lamont Collins.
Oh, he's naughty.
Yes, he's so naughty.
He quit the band Mike Solo Man.
By himself.
She should be so lucky, Kylie Downey.
Do you know what that's a reference to?
No.
What?
Oh, she should be so lucky.
Lucky.
Yeah, okay. Kylie Minogue.
Shaun of the Dead, Peril.
Oh, yeah, Shaun of the Dead. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Good. The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Yeah.
This is probably another reference I don't get. Join him, John Iowa.
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 Yeah. The Rocket, Dan Van Syke.
Sky.
Psych.
The chairman of the board, Jer Bassonet.
Love you, Jer.
He said there's a rainstorm coming.
Woo. Yep.
Yes.
Terminator.
The Edgehead, Matthew Gould.
Ooh. Edgehead. Float Like a Butterfly, Samad Ali.
Yeah. And finally, Crazy Cat Lady, Katie Martin.
Woo.
Whoa,
lovely
yes.
stuff. Excellent stuff.
And right now, we're going to be getting to your super chats from Luke Owen.
First up, yes, because thank you to all of those who watched our AEW TV deal announcement live stream with Caroni. It's in the archives if you want to go and watch our instant. Like, it was pretty much about 10, 20 minutes after the news had come out. So it's a lot of like instant reactions to that and some very, very exciting times. But we did have some live chats coming out of that. So for this one, like Louise, who wonders, when is Vince going to buy AEW and bury it?
Probably not for a while. Yeah. Because the Khans have more money than him. And it hasn't got a tape library.
Exactly, yeah. Bearing in mind, like, when Vince bought WCW, it's because they were just desperate to get rid of the tape library. Because, well, they had no need for it. They weren't going to put it on TV. Jamie Kellner had decided, this is not going on TV, so we're just going to get rid of it. And they bought it for a fraction of the price of what it was truly worth. The DA says, do you know how we're going to watch AEW in Australia? We don't currently. It's only the US that they've announced a TV deal for.
Well, they said BR Live might carry it, which is the Bleacher Report Live service. I don't know if that's going to be, I don't know if that will be the way to do online streaming over Down Under.
I'm not sure. Dave H says that Ollie needs a match with Baron Corbin to kill his cold off.
I don't want to get sucked into that vortex. I think that would make it worse.
Thank you very much, Derek. He says your videos helped me through my midnight shifts.
Stay awake.
Louise has also asked if the magazine is available in Australia.
It's available everywhere.
Absolutely.
We will ship it to you.
Damian Wade said that Vince Russo had better stay away from AEW. I don't think they're going to be making that error.
They sort of banned him from StarCast, didn't they?
Did they really?
Yeah, I remember last year Vince Russo was trying to controversy his way into the event, and Cody was just like, stop this. No, on Twitter.
That's hilarious. Anshu says, I hope you're well, Ollie. Do you think that AEW will focus on India too, like WWE? Love from India.
I think initially they'll focus on the UK, Canada, and the US, of course.
Yeah.
And then probably Australia. But after that, definitely. In the press release, it said a global wrestling brand. So you'd expect them to want to penetrate as many markets as they can.
Arches B. Cray says, great job in getting stream up so quickly. Been part of the SWAF Nation since pre-October 2017. Keep up the great work, lads. Thumbs up emoji. And Aaron says, TNT has a weak online presence. I'm concerned that there are better options and that network executives won't pay attention to the Nielsen ratings.
Huh. Well, that's... No, I think TV executives definitely pay attention to the Nielsen ratings. That's still very much entrenched in the industry. And if they don't have the strong online media presence... Bleacher Report certainly do, which seems to be where they're going to carry AEW partly. So, yeah, I think it's an incredible looking offer they've got.
I completely agree. But that is all from our Super Chats from the AEW deal. So, Randall Datson, what are people saying about SmackDown? Or are they just talking about AEW?
No, it is SmackDown. And someone
Hey, that's too much excitement there, Andy. You rein that back in.
Right, I'll do it again. SmackDown.
That's more like it.
Someone has made a good point, though. We are doing the live Money in the Bank on Sunday at the same time as the Game of Thrones finale. Anyone caught posting Game of Thrones finale spoilers in the chat will be banned immediately. There will definitely be some people, because people are people, but please don't do that.
Yes.
Cool. Yes. Anyway, Benny Sato says...
Hello, Benny.
Luke, thanks. Luke and Ollie, thanks for the Patreon video.
It was him.
I told you it was.
Thank you for your generous donation.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Louise Marie. So we got a lot of Australian fans. It should be nice to fall asleep to your lovely voices. You guys have got me through dark times and I'm forever grateful. Much love from Australia.
Much love to you. Absolutely.
Jobber JJ says, why do wrestlers stop selling or don't sell enough?
Because the next spot's coming up.
I get that it's almost white noise to criticize today's product as people not selling enough. But that's because it is true. Like, so many people don't sell the injuries or moves. Yeah. We see Canadian Destroyers on the apron as a setup move.
Yeah.
Like, it's exciting. Well done. You can make me pop to very impressive and dangerous-looking things. But in terms of telling a story in a match, it isn't good.
Yeah, I pointed out Natalia.
Jim Cornette over here.
Yeah, I was going to say Jim. I said Natalia in that four-way yesterday. Like, Dana Brooke does her big dive off the top of the ladder and instantly Natalia was up and throwing Dana Brooke into the barricade. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, Natty, mate.
It just belittles the move before it.
And Nikki Cross was the one who won that match. Yeah. Like, who took the move?
Austin Tussey says, is the Miz effect starting to work on Raw? Now he's on both brands, basically.
Oh, because, the theory is whatever show Miz is on is good.
It's gone better since the last 2 weeks, and the ratings have shown a slight increase. I think the wild card rule is a good idea for where they've booked themselves into.
Yeah, absolutely. The wild card seems to have worked out well. Did you see that report from PW Torch that said that the writers' room were much happier when it was a split roster?
Mm. It's easier to book that way.
Yeah, but apparently there's just one United writers' room now. They don't have the split writing team anymore.
Mm. It's really interesting, that report.
It's a very, very interesting report.
You can see it on WrestleTalk.com. Adrian Wells says, welcome back, Ollie. I'm glad you're feeling better. I love y'all. Keep grinding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just going to grind some bit here. Can you see my body oscillating?
It's very sexy.
It is very sexy. KJ says, Luke, why do you dislike Stone Cold's Disturbed themed item? It's his best theme.
It's very much an era. It's a theme of its time. It's not aged well.
This will follow you around.
You reckon? Mm. It's not aged well. Like the Undertaker's badass gimmick. It's not aged well.
Ooh, Jake Anderson says, any idea how to watch Double or Nothing or in Australia? Sorry to be off topic. We kind of covered that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So Fight TV have announced that they are also showing it in the UK and Ireland. Along with,
oh, have they?
But I think it's another place to watch it in connection with the ITV box office.
Sure.
Because the ITV box office advert has got Sky, Virgin, and TV box or whatever it is.
Right.
So I think Fight TV is just another way to watch that, but it is still through ITV box office. Mm. But so, yeah, we don't know yet. Yeah. But I'd imagine Fight will probably get it.
Gavin Wilson, he's the person who pointed out the whole Game of Thrones thing. He just asked if we're going to turn the chat off during Money in the Bank just to avoid
this. I'm not going to turn the chat off just because there are some people who are like trying to spoil a show, just trying to be dicks. No, I'm not doing that. Also, I don't care.
No. Tomo says, glad to see Tomo is feeling better. Also, Luke, congrats on the infamous Rumble win on the Screenstalker yesterday. Punch, punch, punch.
It was my greatest achievement today. I'm kidding as well with the Game of Thrones things. I do care because I don't think it should be spoiled.
Rumble win?
So we were doing 2K19 yesterday on Screenstalker.
Oh, did you do a Rumble?
We did a 10-woman Rumble, and it came down to me and Laurie. And this lad over here.
No!
It's one of my proudest achievements.
You suck at that game.
Oh, totally, yeah. I know how to just do a punch, and I still won.
Amazing.
He's forgetting the fact that he actually started the match as Peyton Royce and won it as Paige.
Well, you were eliminated.
Well, you say that, but Laurie didn't start the match as Asuka either, and I eliminated his first character, too.
Who did he start as?
I can't remember, but I eliminated him twice. So nice. Thank you very
well
much,
done.
Randy, trying to play down my achievement.
No, I was actually upping your achievement.
You weren't. You literally said, what he failed to say was $2
Lobster says, hello, what the hell do you mean by something being pants? Is it like calling someone two-ply? British slang is just bass ackwards.
Yes, it's British slang for it's rubbish.
Yeah, because pants over here means underpants.
Yeah.
We call pants trousers.
Yeah.
Or young Ollie, trousies. So adorable. when we say pants, we mean that is totally underpants.
It's underpants.
Yeah.
We've got six more. How many would you like?
Let's have all of them.
Let's have all,
yeah,
of them,
for now.
To be honest, Randy, there's not a lot to talk about this week's SmackDown. We're relying on user content here.
Cringy or cringe, probably cringe, says, do you guys know if AEW will stream in India?
We don't know. It was funny because they were saying, like, our TV deal in the US, and everyone was like, where's our TV deal? Where's our TV deal? I was like, well, we don't know yet. So yeah. they'll announce it. They'll announce it soon, I guess. Or if they get one, they'll announce it.
Sean Turner says, idea, bring the UFC horsewomen and they can dominate the belts. Then bury Bailey. Then tease a Sting return. four women in the ring. Then the crow sound plays.
Just so you know as well, Ollie, that someone is creating Sting Bailey for us to use in 2K19. So it should be next week. We'll be able to debut Sting Bailey in 2K19.
My God. When we finally get our universe. We can't just debut Sting Bailey like that. When we get our universe mode going, that will be like a 3-month storyline. We'll ride her out with an injury.
Yep.
How did Surfer Sting go out? It
was people not trusting him because they thought that he was trying to side with the NWO.
Yes, because he wasn't on the War Games team.
And they had a fake Sting.
Yeah.
Who they were trying to pretend was the real Sting. And so Lex Luger, being an idiot, believed that Sting had betrayed WCW.
So, that's... Just imagine if they did this storyline IRL. So in real life, there's been no Sting references to Bailey's character ever. And that happens.
I'd love it. I'd be totally on board with it.
You're insane.
Of course I'm insane. Randy Datsun.
He's now added to it. Sting appears on Raptor's monologue.
Bird Raptor, maybe.
Possibly. That plays, then he vanishes. When female Bailey Sting appears with a new little girl voiced monologue, need a new name for her.
I like how it's female Bailey Sting, just to... not the male Bailey. We need to make sure we know it's the female Bailey that we're talking about here.
Jarrett Bennett says, will we see Ricochet get a real push alone?
Ooh. I don't think so. Not while Vince is in control. He'll get the sort of Finn. It's exactly the same as Finn Balor.
He'll get the Finn Balor push. He might have a sort of a push, but not really.
Yeah, he might get a Royal Rumble title match against Seth Rollins. Yeah. But he's never going to win it.
No.
Benny Sato says American Badass Undertaker is the best Undertaker.
That's not true at all. Ministry of Darkness Undertaker is best Undertaker.
No, I like WrestleMania old man to 2005 to 2011.
Yeah, that's also a good Undertaker. Yeah. Again, way better than American Badass Undertaker. Hey. Has not aged. You know that has aged very well. His like promos, a fine wine.
His promos were the best as Badass Taker.
Well, he's just doing like chewing a load of tobacco and spitting it out. Oh yeah, gross.
Yeah.
2019 Metal Hip Undertaker is the best one. Degenerate Forever 84 says, Ollie's back. Can we get a rude break?
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and so on.
We've got two more.
And so on, etc.
Two more have just come in. Major traffic potential for AEW from Joshua Scott. NBA games come on TNT every Thursday and every Tuesday during the second half of the season when interest is higher.
Airing them afterwards, after an NBA game, I guess. So. But it's airing in prime time. That's what they announced.
Prime time. So if they're airing on Tuesdays
and Thursdays, that wouldn't that suggest then it's definitely a Wednesday?
Well, NBA games change a lot in time depending on where they are in the country.
Okay.
Because sometimes they're on at about 1 o'clock here and an AM, and then sometimes they're at 3:30. So I think
they're on all through the week as well. There's like 100 games.
Well, it's like baseball. They play millions of games every day. So
sweet. Well, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see where it gets slotted into.
Jason Jimison, prediction on who is the mystery man that is teasing Juice with vignettes in New Japan?
Oh, I haven't actually looked at these. Is this for the Best of the Super Juniors?
I haven't watched any of this, the Best of the Super Juniors yet. I'm saving it all up. The show match.
Show match versus Takagi. I say Takagi. Takagi. He's amazing, though.
Yeah. Apparently, that's like being touted as one of the best matches of the year. So that's I've got a list of like the best of Super Junior matches to catch up on.
We've got two very quick ones last. Liam Ham says, "You guys, my favorite wrestling channel. I love you all.
Thank you so
love
much.
You too, we love Ham. You too,
bud." And Archers B. Cray HY6. Says, thoughts on Big Kaz and Enzo crashing Double or Nothing?
I think I'm going to make a wild prediction now. If there is one show they're crashing this year, it's not Double or Nothing. I'm going to put it on Front Street now. They're not going to be at Double or Nothing.
They might try to.
Okay.
It won't be
decided by AEW. Yeah.
No, I don't think that will happen, though.
Yeah, apparently there's a big problem with ROH and bringing in Enzo and Big Cass, in that ROH management wanted to do it, but ROH creative did not want to do it. Bully Ray apparently was quite behind it. That's why he was first out for the angle. But they didn't tell a lot of people. That's why the Briscoes were really mad about it.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this is very typical of ROH. So, yeah, apparently it's caused a lot of issues. They haven't been at any of the TV tapings either, and they're not officially signed by ROH, as far as I know.
It's all weird. What a weird hour of wrestling that pay-per-view was. That's during that time.
Mega Ran was in that same segment as well. Like, that started with Mega Ran and ended...
4 years later.
But ended with Toriano stealing the tag titles.
Oh, yeah! And I don't know if you heard, but at the same time, Luke... Bret Hart was being attacked at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So this episode of SmackDown opened with Roman Reigns. Dun 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 dun, and I heard booze.
I heard booze as well, yeah. The bloom is off the rose.
UK. UK.
We got, for the live report, someone tweeted saying that there were initial boos, but they were very quickly drowned out by Let's Go Romans.
Yeah. I mean, the crowd, there were shots of the crowd where they looked like super into it, and then people with Roman signs and everything. Apparently, and I know this only because I recently read up on it, because we're doing it as our Patreon podcast, that at NXT TakeOver Chicago, at the start of the show, there were like CM Punk chants, but they were quickly drowned out by the audience who didn't want to chant for CM Punk. They wanted to chant for NXT.
Yeah, that's noble.
That's noble.
I just feel, even if these boos for Roman are tiny... I could still hear them. And this is not a story where you, if booked correctly, Roman's return from leukemia after a, like coming back from that successfully, he shouldn't be getting even a few audible boos just a couple of months afterwards.
No.
That to me shows that there is definitely, he's definitely been ineffectively booked since coming back.
Yeah, and I don't think having him across both shows is certainly going to help that either, particularly when he's just being booked in more or less the same angle all the time.
Yeah, I've written here, like, it doesn't... When he came out on SmackDown at the end of the Superstar Shake-Up episode, which was 3 weeks ago, I'm not talking about every single week since, that felt special. That felt like something different. But now I see him come out and I'm just like, oh, he's a Raw star.
Yeah.
He's a Raw star who's... wild carding it up every week.
Yeah, when they have like the same people, like the Usos don't feel like Raw stars at the moment. They feel like SmackDown guys because they've always been SmackDown guys. And so them showing up on SmackDown, I'm like, well, yeah, of course the Usos are here. They never left.
So while the wild card, I definitely believe, is making a more exciting product, that it's a double-edged sword. You're going to get this other side of things where it's making the brand split dilute.
Yeah, but I think the key to you, the wild card, is not to bring the same people across each week. I mean, they have to with Roman, because apparently USA Network were very annoyed that they drafted him to SmackDown, because they were like, well, we're not going to be airing SmackDown later this year, and you've given him to Fox, and we want Roman. So I think Roman is always going to be across both brands. But I think using someone like, okay, this is going to be a bad example, Apollo Crews on Raw... Although I did forget he was a SmackDown guy, when I was reminded he was a SmackDown guy, I was like, well, at least that's something interesting. That's like, you know, an undercard guy who's trying to get across both shows, might be able to get a bit more TV time. Doesn't help that he then loses to Mojo Rawley in his Electro gimmick.
I said Taserface.
Yeah, I thought I was... me and Laurie had a good laugh about that with Taserface.
Taserface! So Reigns introduced The Miz here as the wild card to deal with Elias. And that just, you know, just threw up so many questions to me. So you decide the wild cards?
No, it's a sign-up sheet, remember? And it's the first person to the sign-up sheet.
That Reigns is holding?
Well, yeah, he was like playing keep away with all the heels that wanted to get onto the show.
Superman punching them all off. Boom, take that, Baron Corbin. Boom in your face, Bobby Lashley. Where's Bobby been?
He was on Raw.
No,
tagging with Elias. Against Roman and The Miz.
That first segment seems like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Simon, House McSimon pointed something out to me yesterday. Me and Laurie discussed this on yesterday's show. And I really noticed it here as well. Is that these segments where someone comes down to the ring, cuts a bit of a promo, and then brings down someone else, they don't bring them down to have a conversation. They bring someone down so they can cut their own promo on something else. But not to each other, but it's still framed like it's a conversation.
Yeah.
it's like MasterChef and in that way. And it's so stilted. And now I can't unsee it. When Miz just started cutting a promo down the barrel of the camera, I was like, this is exactly what he did on Raw.
Yeah.
And it's really awkward.
At least Miz's babyface promos, I think, are straight up fire.
Yeah.
I think he's got a terrific delivery. And just hearing him speak like that probably makes me want to see his match more than any other things he's done. That is much better than what happened with Charlotte later in the show.
We'll get to that. But anyway, Shane comes out with Elias, who's not a wild card. Elias, because Elias is on SmackDown. I thought he was on Raw at first.
Yeah,
yeah. There's Elias, he's on SmackDown. And then they said, we've got some other people who want to beat you two up. I thought it was going to be the B team. Turns out it's Brian and Rowan, who apparently don't like The Miz or something.
Yeah, right, because...
I know Daniel Bryan doesn't like The Miz, but it's a very different Daniel Bryan now.
Yeah, and when Shane said that, you'd think the B team, because...
Of what happened last week.
Of what happened last week, of their history as the Miztourage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was bizarre. And when I saw Brian and Rowan come out, I just thought, God damn it.
Been sucked into the Shane McMahon mid-card vortex. Shane McMahon has really taken control of this mid-card vortex.
And they came out, shame.
And they came out without the tag belts as well, which was a bit of a shame. Mm.
Well, maybe they're getting remade. Like, they wouldn't wear... They shouldn't be wearing the leather belts.
That's very true, yeah. And apparently, they were meant to be debuting tag belts, new tag belt designs at WrestleMania or after WrestleMania. That's what Belts by Dan was saying. But apparently they still haven't debuted them. Anyway, they surround the ring and then start beating up the babyfaces. Usos run down, clear house, and doesn't set up a 4-on-4 match. Instead, Shane, because Shane says that Miz isn't a wild card, sets up it's a 4-on-3 with Roman and the Usos versus Shane, Elias, Bryan, and Rowan.
So Miz wasn't allowed to be a wild card, so Shane overruled Roman's wild card transition. But the Usos, who were also Reigns' wild card picks, they said last week that the big dog said it's his yard and we're welcome round any time.
That's very true, yeah.
But Shane was okay with the Usos.
He's not feuding with the Usos. He's feuding with Roman and Miz.
Yeah. Who were backup for Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
I mean, yeah, when you break it down, eventually, it sort of does make sense in its own little microcosm. For me, though, it was a total Control-C, Control-V of just Roman and Miz cut promos, Shane books a tag match involving them and Elias.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the wild card. The stars are going to feel overexposed. WWE don't have enough ideas to pad out two episodes of TV a week for the same feuds. They don't have enough for one episode a week,
yeah.
Let alone doubling up like this.
Which is incredible as well, because again, going back to that PW Torch report, the writer in question, who was kind of a friend of a writer who was filling in for this, and PW Torch do have actually they were the ones who reported that Dean Ambrose was leaving, so you know, if you want to challenge their validity.
And Sean Ross Sapp has since said all of these things I've heard as well. Yeah. So,
and one of the things they said was that 100 ideas get pitched at like every single creative meeting, and 99% of them never come out because Vince doesn't hear him or Vince doesn't listen.
Yeah.
But anyway, what we got next was fun, which is a fatal four-way between Randy Orton, Ali, Finn Balor, and Andrade. Although Randy did cut a promo that I would say was sleepier than Will Smith's performance of Prince Ali in Aladdin.
He was leaning on the ladder.
He couldn't have cared less.
Like, yeah, I might just...
I will win Money in the Bank, and then the WWE champion will fear the three most dangerous letters R-K-O.
No, didn't even say O. He got too bored and he dropped the mic and everyone else said O for him.
It was such a boring, sleepy promo.
There, like, when can I RKO someone? I'm bored.
Why am I in this ladder match?
Yeah.
I don't want to take ladder bumps.
I don't like the ladders.
I don't like doing that. I remember when Randy Orton was in his first ever Money in the Bank match. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. You've never seen a man want to take less bumps in his entire life. Yeah. He was like, I'm just staying far away from any of this.
Don't blame him. They look so sharp. Of all the things to fall on, a ladder would be the bottom of my pick of WWE objects.
Anyway, yeah, so it was a sleepy promo. Vega came out saying she doesn't care about spoilers for Game of Thrones and Endgame. Here's a spoiler for you. Andrade is going to win Money in the Bank.
So it's Paul Heyman's shtick. From that same PW Torch phone-in bit, one of the things was apparently Andrade confronted Vince McMahon and said, you know, I want to push. And Vince said, learn English then. So Andrade's been learning English and... You know, the last couple of weeks he's been cutting promos in English.
Also, he has a manager to do this for him. Surely that's the point of putting Vega with him.
Yeah.
I don't get that logic.
No.
Anyway, this was an ad break, but when they came back, it was just fast and furious action. Andrade went out and grabbed a ladder and he used it on Balor and Randy, but like Ali super kicked him into him. It's a good like fake out RKO spot with Ali and Randy.
But there was another bit here. Andrade's outside with the ladder now. And Ali goes to dive on him, but he was only ever going to just crossbody the ladder.
Yeah,
like, even before Ali left his feet, it was quite obvious he was only ever going to hit the move on the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was bad.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Balor does a dive. Ali, I like this spot where Ali misses a 450 and he rolls through from that into an RKO. That was a really cool spot.
That's very good.
And then Andrade won with a hammerlock DDT. So really, everyone has got like one win apiece going in, which doesn't make anyone feel special or worse.
Yeah, it was a fun match though. And it made me want to, I guess it wasn't really to put over who's got the momentum going in. It was... this is going to be a crazy match. Here are loads of moves.
Yeah.
And it communicated that to me.
Again, as I said, it was this match that kind of raised my rating off this show. I thought it was a lot of fun.
And I really liked the post-match angle.
Yeah.
Which was Andrade starts to climb the ladder in the ring to do the visual sell. Here I am with the beefcase.
Is this symbolic?
Yeah. And Ricochet runs down as the third official.
Oh, yes, because the Miz wasn't official.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
Ricochet runs down, springboards, off the top rope onto the ladder. So seamlessly.
Yeah.
Like there's no shaking or anything.
No.
It's beautiful. And he knocks Andrade off and he poses with the beefcase. So yeah, it was cool.
Cool. It was the coolest thing that Ricochet's done since being a solo act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. Carmella cut a cell phone promo saying that she's already won Money in the Bank twice. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got the Kofi and Xavier Woods stuff. And then I'll pass this across to you for this this Charlotte promo.
Charlotte. Comes down to the ring, entrance and everything, gets the mic and introduces a video package. I've got problems with that anyway, because that kayfabe means it should be a video package
pro Charlotte,
edited to make Charlotte look good and Becky to look stupid. But it wasn't. It was a very, very good, objective video package where they... Kind of similar to how they did with Seth and AJ the previous night, where they had like all the stuff in NXT and how they've grown since then and ending in WrestleMania 35. And, you know, I thought it was a good, effective promo. Sure, they, you know, skipped over a lot of important details and bad booking, but hey, you don't need that in a promo.
What do you mean Becky apologized?
Yeah. And then we never cut back to the ring. We never see what happened to Charlotte.
No.
So she only came out to introduce the video package. I already am annoyed by the fact she introduced the video package. Then they didn't even pay off on why she was down there.
When I was reading back my notes, when I was writing my review, because I write my review on the tube ride in, I thought I'd imagined it and I'd written my notes wrong. And I was like, no. Yeah, that's Charlotte. It didn't lead to anything. I must have made that up. And then I went in, I looked on WWE.com and I was like, no, there's no pictures of this or anything. I must have just imagined this. So I went back and rewatched the show and I was like, no, this did happen and it did lead to nothing. But I looked past it because I thought the video package was excellent and actually was, I'd think, the most effective build they've done for this Becky Charlotte match at Money in the Bank, which I was very down on because I felt it was a bit, we've seen it before. We've had this match now almost every month since the summer of last year, and I'm quite ready for Becky to face someone new. But I thought this video package was excellent. I love the sit-down interview portion of it. It gave it a real big fight feel. Charlotte was incredibly stilted in it, but not as stilted as she was on Monday when she was so bored she just wanted to be anywhere else. She sounded like she may as well have not been there, and she did the same thing here as well. But I thought this was very, very nice, and I thought it was really, really cool. And I particularly like that they've now framed the SummerSlam heel turn as the SummerSlam babyface turn. It's very, very impressive, and WWE, credit to them, are the masters of rewriting their own history. It's seamless how good they are.
Yeah.
But then came a bit that I was really irritated by. Well, not irritated by it. I thought this was classic WWE because they've clearly written something and then not gone back and reread it, but have kept it in the format regardless. Because you have this promo package of Becky versus Charlotte. Then the commentators say, at Money in the Bank, it's going to be Becky versus Charlotte. But not only that, Becky is also facing Lacey Evans. Then we cut to Lacey Evans saying, no one's talking about my match. I was like, the commentators literally just talked about your match.
Mm.
It's just, it's classic WWE of we didn't think this through when we wrote it down.
Yeah, or just generic motivation for promo.
Yeah,
Let's not double check it. I think they should have had Charlotte introduce that video package, cut back to the ring and it's Lacey Evans.
Would you have noticed?
I don't know. I don't think so. Lacey says she's going to beat Becky at Money in the Bank. It was a promo.
It was a promo.
Then we got, speaking of a promo, we got an Aleister Black promo. I haven't noticed the lights on the background before.
I think they're getting brighter.
Well, they start off bright in a sort of crisscross spotlight way. And as the promo draws to its conclusion where he says fade to black, they do fade to black. So, I mean, I don't know what it says that the main thing I'm getting from these promos is how the walls are lighted behind him. I'm a bit bored of them, to be honest.
Totally. Yeah. Very bored.
he's doing well, but there's nothing there. There's no reason to get invested.
Bray Wyatt syndrome.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt always cut great promos, but the promos meant nothing.
Then we got the four-on-three handicap match with Shane, Rowan, Brian, and Elias taking on the family.
Yeah, the
Roman
Bloodline,
and the Usos.
I believe they were called. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this when they were all in there, I thought, this feels like a big-time match. This feels like, you know, because just having Shane McMahon in there, and he isn't usually wrestling on TV, it felt big-time for me. And there were so many people there. Brian, too, I would argue, because mm-hmm. he feels fresh and back. And I found myself thinking, this feels like the main event. But
yeah.
then I wouldn't want to usurp the WWE title picture as having the main event slot.
You say that, but I, with the opening promo segment and this match, which went on, like it went through two ad breaks, this got the most time dedicated to it was the Roman versus Elias match, which I genuinely forgot was happening this Sunday. And Shane versus Miz. That got the most TV time. But I would argue it's also the most boring stuff on this week's show. Uh-huh. The opening promo segment was boring.
Yes.
And this match was so dull. It's every sort of tag match of this ilk that you've ever seen, which is just one person gets worked over for a long, long time. They get a hot tag. That person gets worked over for a long, long time. Then we build to a hot tag. Everyone does big moves. One team wins. And it's like the final few moments are fun. But that doesn't stop the fact that everything... The crowd were dead. Watching Rowan do that little head squeeze thing on Roman Reigns, I was like, come on. It's 2019.
Proper out of the 80s, yeah.
It is proper out of the 80s, which, let's not forget, was 30 years ago.
Yeah, I completely agree. As you said, the last sequence is always really fun.
A lot of fun.
It's not worth it when you've had... That surely there's a middle ground. I'm not saying have Young Buck style just moves all the time from the get-go. But have a better balance.
Yeah.
Miz ran down in the end to beat people up with a chair. Sorry, after Shane won with a coast-to-coast.
He did, yeah.
Was that the only thing he did in the match?
No, he did some working over Roman and Jey Uso as well.
Miz beats the heels up, the babyfaces stand tall, and... I did, although, again, brand split LOL, I thought this end part was a very effective way to build multiple feuds this Sunday.
Yeah, because the Usos going to be facing Brian and Rowan for the SmackDown tag titles.
Yeah, and you had two others with Elias Roman and Shane Miz.
Yeah.
So that was very effective.
It didn't make me want to see any of the matches, but you're right that it was at least building towards them. Then we got the Firefly Funhouse from Raw. You weren't here yesterday, so do you want to... I mean, you did your Raw review, but do you want to share any thoughts
on it? It's amazing.
It's awesome, isn't it?
It's amazing. They timed it perfectly as well. So that was four episodes, I believe, of Firefly Funhouse. I know the four... It's interesting to go back and look at the initial Bird Raptor stuff, which I believe went on for about 3 weeks.
Because they did they did 1 week with Bird Raptor and then 1 week with Abby.
Yeah.
And then 1 week with the Doll's House, I think. Or it might be it's around that sort of order.
Yeah. But the Bird Raptor stuff without Firefly Funhouse.
Yes.
Looking back on that, I think you could just skip that part. I don't think it was good and it made us all laugh at it. Whereas if you just debut Firefly Funhouse right out the gate, I think that would have been a better use of it. But I think creatively, it's a massive success. I know some people don't like it, but I hope you can see why people would, especially now you've got this awesome... I don't want him to wrestle in it. I don't think he will wrestle in it. I think it's
an entrance
attire. But I thought it looked great. I thought just the clothes he was wearing, I'm really interested to see how this character manifests in the ring.
Yeah.
I think it was great. I think the execution, the visual reveal, spectacular stuff. I'm annoyed with Corey Graves, though, because he said a new episode of Firefly Funhouse.
Oh, yeah. It's a new edition of Firefly Funhouse. And it's not. It's the same one. This happens all the time on SmackDown. They keep saying it's a new episode, and then it's not.
I guess to argue his case, it's new to SmackDown. If you treat them as, I only watch SmackDown or I only watch Raw, which doesn't happen.
They believe it does.
Yeah, you watch SmackDown, you watch Raw. That's the...
Oh, no, it's got like a 75% of the Raw audience watches SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you watch SmackDown, you watch Raw.
That's true, yeah, you're right.
You don't necessarily watch Raw and watch SmackDown.
You're absolutely right, do apologize.
There was that, and also for yesterday's episode, when it cut back to the announcers, and they were just like, well, here's a recap of that contract signing. I just thought, come on, like this is knocking it out of the park.
This is the one really great thing in this company at the moment.
You just need to think about how you're going to follow that up and transition from Bray's universe into a wrestling show.
Yeah. No, and what you need is Michael Cole going, I'm so sorry for what you're about to see.
Yeah.
It's not our decision. We don't want to put it on TV.
And I know cynical Ollie, but I'm just concerned that those transitions haven't been thought out. Why the hell would Bray be coming on Raw or SmackDown be? Where do you think he goes?
Well, he can go anywhere. Wild card.
Where do you think he'll be signed officially to?
Raw.
You reckon? I feel Raw as well.
Yeah. Then we got a tag team match between Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose against Kairi Sane and Asuka, who got a new name debuted by Paige. They are the Kabuki Warriors. This is worse than Viking Experience.
No.
This is way, way worse.
We've got a debate going here between Luke and Andy.
Way, way worse than Viking Experience. At least they're Vikings. You look at them and you're like, they're Vikings, the Viking Experience. Asuka does dance and she wears a Kabuki-esque mask to the ring. But Kabuki is not her character trait. She is not a Kabuki dancer. That is not her gimmick. And Kairi Sane's a bloody pirate. And they're managed by Paige. They are not Kabuki dancers. So why the hell are they called the Kabuki Warriors other than they're Japanese? This doesn't seem well thought out whatsoever. It just feels like it's a Japanese word we know. Put it next to Warrior. And that's their tag team name. Like, someone said on Twitter, you may as well just bring them out to the Orient Express music at this point. Or call them Kai and Tai at this point, because it's really, really bad. This is so horrifically lame. I hate it. Are you having a little giggle?
Sorry, yeah, I've just found the Urban Dictionary definition.
What is the Urban Dictionary definition?
Well, obviously, you've got Kabuki as Kabuki theater.
Yes.
Which is the sort of the traditional Japanese theater with the masks.
Oh, I love this radio silence.
Can you argue your point? I'm just going to read this to make sure it's okay to read out.
Why do you think, you put the camera on you as well, why do you think that Viking Raiders is worse than this?
Well, Viking Experience.
Oh, Viking Experience, sorry.
Because they changed it from something that was perfectly fine. The fact they've just given them, like, it's more the fact that they changed it from something that didn't need changing. Like, the War Raiders, as they became, was so much worse than War Machine, but we kind of accepted it. Then to change it to the Viking Experience just felt like such an insult to the fans. Like, oh, you don't watch NXT anyway, so why'd you give up monkeys?
Well, I appreciate but that. It is a worse name. The Kabuki Warriors is a legit is objectively a worse name than the Viking Experience. And I'm not saying the Viking Experience is a good name. That is a terrible. It's the worst tag team name they've ever come up with up until this point, where they've managed to come up with something worse.
Would you prefer Kabuki Experience?
I'd rather Kairi Sane and Asuka. Like, that's fine. They keep calling them bloody Fire and Desire, or they keep calling themselves Fire and Desire, but still get introduced as Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Assy Sane.
Like, they don't need a name.
Mm.
And it's
Team Paige.
Like, it's someone, Team Paige, like that would be worse.
Paige Turner. Turn another, different pages.
Someone
on the same page.
It sounded like you're playing catchphrase. Bean. Paige Turner. You're right.
That's right, but it's not what we're looking for.
It's close, but it's not right. Yeah, it's someone else said that, like, Kairi Sane has gone from one of the coolest names in the Sky Pirates, which sounds like a Dreamcast game, the Skies of Arcadia, to the worst name possible, which is Kabuki Warriors. What annoys me is that this act, you don't look at this act and go like, ah, Kabuki, that's what this is.
Mm.
It's got nothing to do with them other than the fact of their race.
I look at
two
very
of their race, two-thirds of their race.
I look at very few things apart from Kabuki theatre and think, that's Kabuki.
Like, even when we've been looking at Asuka for like the 4 years she's been in WWE, at no point has anyone said, ah, her gimmick is she's a Kabuki dancer.
So, Urban Dictionary's third definition.
This better be working
out, mate. So, the top two are kabuki theatre.
Yeah.
The third definition, to have kabuki with someone is a bond that two people share. They watch out for each other. They have each other's back.
Really?
So
maybe that's what they're going for.
They've got each other's backs and they're warriors.
Ah.
So someone backstage thought it sounded Japanese when an Urban Dictionary and went, that one.
Yeah, this is by no means the... it's got 40 thumbs up and 60 thumbs down. So I don't think this is a definite... However,
yes.
Let's have an example of this.
Oh, please do.
To obtain kabuki, this is from the thing. Under the third full moon of the year, the two individuals that wish to obtain kabuki must touch penis heads for three full seconds.
Now I hope this is what it's all about.
It would kabuki, add, folks.
It would certainly get the fanfic going, wouldn't it? Crikey.
But for me, I don't care. I really don't care. I think that the whole Paige Asuka Kairi Sane thing is just so ridiculous and transparently not like racist, but just
we don't know what to do with them. We'll just put them together.
Yeah, it just belies a sort of unconscious but like back of your mind ignorance of the world.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. So I'm down on it already. The Kabuki Warriors, at least I like the word warriors. I don't really care about Kabuki or whatever. But for me, Viking experience just annoys me more. I don't know why.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough.
Thank you.
Yeah. I would say as well that when this match was happening, I just felt so sorry for Asuka. And I think part of this comes from the fact that I was such an Asuka mark in NXT.
Yeah.
To see her fall. Like, and all she has done since her coming up from the main roster is fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall and fall. Until she had an amazing performance at TLC, then they didn't care, so she just fell further and further and further. And now she is just like, this is the bottom right now. Like, she must be there going like, this is it. This is what the bottom feels like. This is, I am so low card in this that I've been thrown into this random tag team with someone who's got nothing to do with either of us. And we've got this terrible, terrible name. Her NXT days feel like a million years ago. And it makes me a bit sad.
Yeah.
Viking experience, I was like, it's terrible, but we'll eventually get it. We'll just learn to accept it. And then they changed it a week later. And it turns out Kabuki Warriors is a game on the Xbox, so we may get it changed next week anyway.
1.4 stars.
Yeah, on IGN. So we may get it changed next week. I think it's a terrible, terrible name.
Yeah. So this match with Rose and Neville, but the Iconics were on commentary. Big plus. They were fantastic.
Excellent.
So funny. But yeah, Rose and Deville. Yeah, it was a match that was fine. I quite like Sonya and Sane when they're in the ring together very briefly. But the finish was Mandy wants the tag because she feels like she can get the win here.
Because she's been told by Sonya that she's the star of the team.
Yeah, so Sonya tags her in. Mandy goes to pin Asuka. Asuka sort of backslides her. 1, 2, 3. So just just have Asuka and Sane win convincingly.
Also, Mandy Rose is in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Like, why aren't we building towards her being in that match?
I just thought this made me... No one came off good out of this.
There's an amazing picture, an amazing screen grab that someone has got the second that Paige makes the team announcement, where Kairi Sane hangs her head and being like... Yeah. This is what it's come to. Kairi Sane already feels like nothing special on this main roster. She's been ricocheted.
Oh yeah.
It's a real verb. And it's a real, real shame. I mean, the match was absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I forgot it was set up last week.
However, can we talk about my favourite bit of the show now?
What's your favourite thing?
Lars Sullivan's interview, where we're just not gonna, we need to have him on the show. We need to have him on the show because there's been this huge controversy. But where past comments of his have been brought up again about terrible things he said in the past. We can't not have him on the show because that makes it feel like we're getting rid of him and we've dropped all the plans. But we can't put him too much on the show like we usually do because that will send the wrong message. So what are we going to do? And it's just this segment where they probably thought, well, we could have Kayla Braxton try to interview him, get scared, go away, and Lars can just stare. And that's what they did.
I'm going to put over Kayla Braxton here, though. I thought Kayla was very good in this segment. She's a better actor than Charlotte is.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
a better actor than most of the main roster women.
Braxton's up there with Mean Caruso.
Braxton's great.
Yeah, she's done well.
I know, I've turned a corner on Braxton. I think she's awesome.
I like, she's looking up, and she's so tiny compared to Lars. I really thought it got over the breadth
yeah.
of Lars's chest.
Is he getting hairier as well?
I believe so.
He looks like he's getting hairier.
And she just starts to ask him a question. I just want to ask you a question. And then she starts to trail off. And the only other word she can get out is, on the destruction. And then she has to go. And I thought, what crappy WWE question was that?
Gonna be.
On the destruction of the roster since you've come here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then they played a Lars video package, which was pretty cool.
Do you know what's on the SmackDown house show loop while they're in the UK?
No.
Walter versus R-Truth with the United Kingdom Championship. Would have much rather that been on SmackDown, to be honest. I'd have loved that to have been on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a Walter. Wild card. Walter.
From NXT UK.
Deal with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on you.
And I don't, you know, it may then put over the UK brand and maybe make people want to buy the network so they can watch the show.
Don't be ridiculous. So, yeah, and then we got the main event of the Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston segment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's overall, I would give it a low smack bang in the middle.
I gave it a smack bang in the middle and I bumped it up to a low smacktastic because I really like that main event segment. I really, really like that main event segment. And the men's four-way I thought was a lot of fun. And I loved that Charlotte Becky. Ignoring the Charlotte bit, I loved the video package itself. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
So some super chats, Randy.
Yes, people have been counting how many times you've coughed, Ollie.
I'm
you're up
sorry,
to
guys.
43.
Really?
That's what
that seems like a miscount.
That's what Tomo says, but the happenable says 34. So there is a.
I'm sorry,
maybe
folks.
They're counting like each individual cough because you're a multiple cougher
as opposed to a splatter.
Yeah.
And someone's pointed out that Kabuki is a male-only art these days, and it was only women who did it about 400 years ago as a front for prostitution.
There you go.
The more you know.
Well, there you go. More fanfic material for the people who like to write fanfic about WWE wrestlers having sex with each
super
other.
Super chat. Jep Sonnen starts us off with, no man is ever truly good. No man is ever truly evil. Do the things you never could and we won't ever be equal.
We'll just cut promos in spooky scenarios.
So you know what it was. He asked like a prize. He said a prize for anyone who knows what that is, but I'm assuming you know.
It's Alistair Black's theme song.
It is, yeah. Manga Girl says, what match are you looking forward to seeing at Money in the Bank? Also, Luke, in regards to your question yesterday, favourite mango is mango chutney.
Oh, that's a good shout. It's a
great shout. Absolutely, yeah.
Probably is the best form of mango.
Yeah. I didn't even think of mango chutney, but it is the best form.
Hey,
that
I have
is,
mango.
That's its final form.
I have mango on a meringue. Over the weekend, actually. Now I've said that out loud. yeah, that was delicious.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was homemade.
So yeah,
mango chutney.
The match you're looking for more for to most at Money in the Bank?
AJ Rollins, I think. I think it'll be very good. Yeah, I think that's the match I'm most looking forward to.
I always like the Money in the Bank matches. They're always good matches, and it's really exciting to see who gets the beefcase. The men's one. I'm not looking forward to
the women's
one.
No.
No, no, I'm not really a fan of any of the people in it.
Can you name all eight people in it?
Yes, Bayley, Ember Moon, Alexa Bliss, Dana Brooke, Natalia, Naomi.
Yep, there we go.
Carmella.
Yeah. Oh, no, you see, so close.
Don't tell me. Just, have I got, I should have kept track on brands.
I don't know why you didn't do it brand-wise.
Okay, so Raw, Alexa Bliss, Dana Brooke, Natalia, Naomi. SmackDown. Andy Rose.
There it is. Yes. Get in there.
That's my job.
Brady Terry says, been watching you guys for years, almost daily, ever since I made the jump from Name Redacted. Thank you for keeping me updated on the world of wrestling, especially when I can't watch because of college.
Thank you very much for supporting us. We
Thanks
very much appreciate
watching.
It.
Smear7y says, who do you think Bray Wyatt will be feuding with?
Well, we had this a lot yesterday.
We did.
Yeah, it depends on which brand he goes to, I guess. But whatever brand he goes to, I'd like to see him go into a title feud off the bat. I don't want to see him just have squash matches for like 4 weeks because that will get tiresome very quickly.
Mm. If Ray wins the US title, I'd like to see him in a US title mix from the get-go. I mean, ideally, go straight for Rollins. That's what I'd want.
Mm.
Skip the Corbin stuff. Christ alive.
No, Corbin, mate. He's the heat magnet. Rollins versus Corbin. That's our feud going into the summer.
Well, the people he's been tweeting are Samoa Joe and The Shield, so make of that what you will. Go Soup 12. I'm studying abroad next year. You guys interested in an intern? I'm from New York, and I'll bring gifts in from Luke's favourite places. PPS, Andy is number one.
Well, I mean, you failed the interview process by saying that that's his number one, unfortunately.
Yeah, sorry about that.
However, New York is the best place.
You can definitely bring us gifts, unfortunately, that we don't have space for an intern. No.
Angel or Angel Perez says Ricochet will get a push all right down the mid-card vortex, which is a shame he was flipping his butt off in that Corbin match.
Sadly, he had the best Baron Corbin match he's ever had of his life.
Tomo is supporting my merch as he does. Tyrone Keith Peltzer says, AW on TNT, when do we get Shaq and Charles Barkley on guest commentary?
Guessing the basketball thing, right?
Yeah, is that a basketball thing?
Shaquille
O'Neal.
Charles
Barkley, who was in Space Jam.
And Gnarls Barkley. No, that's a different
Gnarls
person.
Gnarls Barkley is a singer.
Yeah, a singer, yeah, sorry.
You drive me crazy.
That's the one I was wondering what his song was.
Benny Sato says, he's learning his English from Charlotte. Wink. Oh, that's Almas, I suppose.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
Yes. Oh.
Wink.
Gorilla Glue Expert says nothing but a little donation, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Good brand.
I bet you, this is from Sean Turner, I bet you one of those 99 ideas is female Bailey Sting. This is Vince's fault. Also, Bailey isn't my favourite, but I would go crazy if she went 180.
Yeah.
There you go, Ollie.
She's going to go 360. She's going nowhere.
Miles35 says, hey, Ollie and Luke. Not me. I attended SmackDown last night. Was a bit disappointed with Charlotte's segment as she came down, introduced the video, and walked off.
It must have been so funny to watch it live. Because I want to know when she left. Like, did she watch the video or did she leave like
no,
as
apparently
it started?
She literally said, here's the video, and walked off.
Amazing.
Miles35 said, we also had to sit through an hour of 205 before we got the tag team main event.
That is how a lot of people see 205 Live. We had to sit through it so we could see the dark match that no one else gets to see.
What was the dark match?
Had to watch for the 205 Live. I've no idea.
Sorry, it's weird. Scroll down weirdly. Benny Sato says, Andy Datsun push. Gorilla Glue Expert says, my mum had a stroke. Please wish her well.
Oh,
we do wish her well.
Absolutely.
Wish you well,
absolutely.
Mrs. Gorilla Glue.
Best of luck to Gorilla Glue.
Sean Z says, elderly care on a pole match. Undertaker versus Goldberg.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about this yet, have we? Goldberg versus Undertaker. I was actually unintentional. Goldberg versus Undertaker at Super Showdown without the hyphen. What are your thoughts?
It is what it is. Yeah.
It really, when you looked at the people they announced, I was like, we should have seen that match coming.
That news came out this week. I don't think any of our news videos have been titled that.
No, I talked about it in the news, but very briefly.
Because I don't care. Like, I care about AEW now. I don't care about Undertaker coming back. I don't care about Goldberg or Brock Lesnar. Yeah.
Yeah,
the wrestling business has moved on. You're welcome to it, Saudi Arabia.
It was a dream match 20 years ago.
Mm. You see, they leaked possibly some pictures of the card.
Yeah, but wasn't that WrestleMania that leaked it?
I think originally. So we've just put a very big caveat for it, saying this might be.
This
true.
Came from WrestleMania,
yeah. Basically. Yeah. Anyway, Valab Mabidipudi says it was apparently Kyrie and Asuka's idea. Actually, Kabuki Girls, according to Paige.
Oh, is that what Paige did? Like a backstage interview saying that? I would put very little stock into that. Mm. Very little stock.
Ollie is checking. Jobber JJ496 says, AEW's new league system. What does that mean? Sounds complicated. Just wanting a wrestling show to treat me like an adult.
Well, it might do. But we don't know as of yet. It's very exciting. It's just an interesting word to use.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be structured. That it gives the impression it will be structured around a league-based format.
A bit like the G1.
Yeah. Well, especially with the amount of... Well, that's kind of brackets going into... Yeah, it's a league there. Be interesting, like you said, how that plays out over the course of a year or whether it's broken into seasons. But the rest of that press release, focuses so much on statistics and wins and losses meaning stuff. So you've got to imagine, even the I doubt there'll be any matches that are just like, here's a match.
Here's an exhibition match.
Yeah.
Well, there might be exhibition matches.
But that, I think that will I think that will be a big deal, though.
Yeah,
I think when you get an exhibition match or a blood feud match, something that happens outside a league or outside a title thing, those will be... that. I mean, that's how I would do it. Mm-hmm. So, and I assume they're better than me, so they'll do that, but better.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Tomo says, if you do NXT TakeOver 25 live stream, Datsun in front of the camera, do it.
Yeah, we might not be doing that.
This is something Datsun has been pushing as well. I feel like Datsun has...
He was in the 2K19 live stream yesterday pushing the agenda as well. Yeah, we might not. Unfortunately, Laurie, Pete and myself are away because we're at UK Games Expo on that weekend because WWE announced it after we'd already booked our time to go there. So it's just Ollie on his own. And housemate Simon. Simon said he might do it.
We'll see.
Daniel O'Farrell says, Aleister Black versus Bray. Thoughts? Love you guys.
Well, at least he gives Aleister Black something to do.
I want Black to win and I want Wyatt to win. So I wouldn't program against each other at the start.
Oh yeah, former tag team. That's the way forward, mate. The Mask Warriors.
Mm. Sawyer says, and he's right, everybody says Viking experience is so bad, but so are all these old examples from the past, so get over it. But that's not the point. It's the unnecessary change from War Raiders that made it extra terrible.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Cool, but yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't disagree.
Yeah. Tomo says, who would want the Iconics to have their own commentary table like the New Day did?
Yeah, but you don't get to hear it. So you may as well just have them on commentary where they can just pick on Byron Saxton.
Hear it or see it.
Well, hear it.
Oh, okay. Is Sami Zayn being pushed? Thoughts on the Lars fine from Adam Pearson?
So, is Sami being pushed? Well, apparently, according to this report from PW Torch, it's not Sami Zayn isn't writing those promos. Vince McMahon is writing those promos. It's just Vince's frustrations with the people who watches his product channeled through Sami Zayn, which makes a lot of sense, really.
I can totally see Vince writing these promos for Sami, Sami going out there, performing them excellently, and then Vince going, this guy's amazing. He's saying all the stuff I think. And that's why he's... because he is getting a push now, I feel. He's in the Money in the Bank match. He's in the mix with Kevin Owens on SmackDown. And I hope he does get a push because he's excellent.
Yeah.
In terms of the... what was the... The fine. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money.
Good public thing to do. Because apparently Snickers were... I think Snickers were probably the deciding factor on that one because they released a comment to say that they were also very unhappy with the comments. So I think that probably forced WWE's hand against them to issue the fine. Whether that fine is real or not, I'd be really interested to see. Kind of like how, like, you know, when Randy used to get in trouble, quote-unquote, for his drug usage.
Because Meltzer was saying on today's Wrestling Observer Radio that 100 grand... would be more money than he earned, like Lars earned last year.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, like, that's a lot of money in proportion to what Sullivan reportedly earns. And it's just, I know, like, I agree, awful things to say. They were said a long time ago before he was employed with the company.
Yeah, I think he was employed by that point.
Really?
I believe so, yeah.
2013.
I think there was, he had some comments, because one of the comments he has on the board is that I've already been signed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I also think that it's done it, and it has to be a large number because it had to be a number that was big enough but not too big to seem ludicrous. It's a very smart PR thing that WWE have done. Very, very smart move.
Yeah.
Joshua Thompson says, just a little fancy booking. Bray shows up to cost Randy Orton in the Money in the Bank. Small program, squashes Randy, wouldn't hurt him. Thoughts?
Bray versus Randy again. No, I'm not into that.
No. I almost said Finn Balor for the IC title, but now I don't want that either. Just because of the last, you know, it's still got the stink of the feud they had before.
The Pumpkin King.
Jaden Rodriguez says, g'day. By the way, a Super Showdown type show isn't happening in Australia this year. Only 3 smaller house shows. Thoughts on that?
They haven't got a deal with the country this year.
Yeah. Someone bought that show.
Yeah.
A promoter in Australia.
Zach Lindner says, amazing idea, Bray versus the mid-card of evil.
You know what? That's not a bad shout. Like a badass tweener Bray Wyatt just coming in and murdering Baron Corbin, Bobby Lashley. Not Drew. Drew should
probably step away from that.
But Shane, Elias.
Yeah. Bray versus Shane.
The B team.
Yeah.
You should
elevate the B team there into the mid-card status.
They're the undercard vortex, yeah.
Yeah, wild card, mate.
So is Elias.
Yeah.
Victor Vega just says he's still sad about Becky. Carl Stefan, Andy Datson's number three fan. Okay, says prediction, Alexa Bliss loses her luggage, Night of Money in the Bank, Cross steps in as a replacement.
I think Laurie had this prediction yesterday, which I really like, is that Nikki Cross is going to win the match. She's going to think she's in the match, take the briefcase and run. Either that or she's going to help Alexa win.
Yeah, I think it's all rubbish. I feel, again, like these, whether they're from Alexa herself or whoever's writing Alexa's segments and booking her matches, I think it's rubbish.
Yeah.
Like, I've got shoes on. I'm getting dressed. They're all clothes-based. I just, yeah.
Yeah.
Two more Carlos Lima, no message, but a donation. So
thank you very much, Carlos.
And Pitter Patter, let's get at her, is the last one. He says, note on WWE commentary last night, them trying to work around the wildcard rule on top of Byron versus Corey made me want to turn off the audio.
Oh, yeah. The commentary during that 4-on-3 handicap match was so unlistenable. It was dreadful. Really, really bad. Really, didn't like it at all. Yeah.
WWE commentary is grating, to say the least.
Absolutely. You'll like this email, Oliver Davis.
Challenge.
This comes in
I
from
might
Josh.
Hate it. Don't presume.
Well, let's go on. You'll like this. This comes in from Josh, and it's called the B-Day Debate, or as he's referred to it as the Bidate.
The Bidate, yes. The Bidate.
Hi, Andy. I just wanted to weigh in on the B-Day Debate. I'm not sure if it's been pointed out to you yet.
Wait. What was that first sentence?
Hi, Andy.
Just.
Yes. Just hi, Andy.
Finally.
Come on. Who sent that in?
This comes in from The Limit, Joshua Lynette.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like a good guy.
This is outrageous.
I'm not sure if it's been pointed out yet, but there is more than one type of B-Day. The one I believe you guys are talking about is the one commonly found in sunny parts of Europe. You know, the one that looks like a sink for children, which actually, fun fact, I thought it was when I was a child. I thought it was just a sink for children.
These Europeans.
The crazy lifestyles. They've got sinks for kids. Now, I've never actually used one of these, but it seems uncomfortable. The superior alternative is the handheld bidet.
You get these
a lot in Asia, as I've seen in Thailand and Malaysia, and are essentially just a small shower head attached to the side of a toilet. I have found that these are much more hygienic, cost-effective, environmentally friendly, and satisfying to use than toilet paper. Satisfyingly in the sense that some form of moisture is necessarily when wiping one's derriere, but it also feels quite nice in a platonic way. The only downside is that you walk around with a soggy ass for a few hours, but two sheets of toilet paper could stop. Well, then you're just using the toilet paper.
Just use a pressure washer. That'll get it all off in one go.
Crikey.
You're not going to hairdry next to it.
Well, like a little one for children. Yeah.
Joshua has gone, like he's said too many times how this is strictly a platonic relationship between him and the little shower head. How it's satisfying, but that honestly, but, that's where it stops.
But not in a gay way.
The lady doth protest, Joshua.
You could definitely, if you had a wet arse, you could definitely bend over in front of a hand dryer.
Yeah.
And have it blow down onto your bum.
Yeah, you could, or just balance on a cabinet.
Yeah. Or the Dyson Airblade, you just sit on it.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Okay, would you like some Rusev Hayes?
Is that where that email ends?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Oh, right.
Did you not like it?
No, it was okay.
I liked it because it was the bidate.
Bidate's good.
I thought it was very good. Okay, let's have some Rusev Hayes. We've got a bit of a backlog of these. Frank, I will read yours out, but they're a bit long, so I'm going to unfortunately have to skip those ones for now. We'll do this on another show. But this one comes in from Austin, who says, hi guys, SmackDown is here in Louisville, Kentucky, and Sheamus was doing an autograph signing. He was a super nice guy. We talked about comic books and he noticed my shirt and said he's seen some of your videos before and enjoys them.
What, he was wearing a WrestleTalk shirt?
He was indeed.
So, we've had multiple correspondents that Sheamus is a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So well done, Sheamus. Shall we say if you get three Rusev Hayes, have you been a nice person in public?
Yeah.
You're a stamp of approval.
You get the WrestleTalk stamp of approval.
You're verified.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you're WrestleTalk verified. I also ran into a few other people that are WrestleTalk fans that commented on my shirt. Seamus asked about some good local comic shops, and I directed to one that a buddy of mine owned. It's a comic shop and a tattoo shop. He wrote the name down and said he was going to go visit after the signing. I told my buddy that owns the shop, and he told me he is tattooing Kofi after SmackDown tonight. As always, thanks for the consistent work, and see if you notice me on SmackDown, I'll be fourth row camside alongside the entrance ramp in my support WrestleTalk T-shirt that's from Austin Tussie. Picture it didn't happen. And there is a picture of him with Seamus.
Oh, you look great.
Wearing his Support WrestleTalk T-shirt doing Dibar.
Cricket Wireless in the backdrop.
Absolutely.
Got to get that in.
So, yeah, Seamus is a fan of WrestleTalk.
Well, was he on an old bit of the show before? No, he would have been at WWE back then.
Well, when he was Seamus O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, I was trying to remember.
God, what was that Irish Whip Wrestling, IWW. Mm. Yeah, because that used to be on the Wrestling Channel on Sky, didn't it? Yeah. We've also got this one here that comes in from Magnus, who says, "Hi, Luke, Laurie, Pete, and Ollie. Brackets, if you're still under the weather, get well soon. I hope this email isn't too long. I went to my first WWE show when WWE came to Oslo and in Norway for the first time ever. It was my second live wrestling experience, so I was really looking forward to it. The first one was with Defiant when Pax had his return to Newcastle in a very good match with David Starr. The only thing that I managed was 95% of that match, but that's another story, I guess." But he gives us a show report of the event and then says, "Here's my quick recap. Hey, my friend lives close to the arena, so we walked to get there. When we were about halfway, I suddenly saw some familiar faces. It was Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn, who were waiting to get picked up by a car to drive them to the arena. They had time for one picture. Literally, the next couple got a no since they had to leave, so that was fun. I'm the one next to Daniel Bryan. He stepped on my shoe. Such a heel. Picker, it didn't happen." And there is a picture of our friend Magnus with Daniel Bryan. I'm guessing his friend. And Sami Zayn.
God, when he said Magnus, I thought, oh, you're making like a sort of Nick Aldis in TNA joke. But no, if he's from Norway, that's likely his real name.
Oh, yes.
That's a cool freaking name.
Isn't it just? He's actually one of our pledgehammers as well.
Isn't the world chess champion, Magnus Carlsen? Yeah, he's like the big bad boy of chess.
The bad boy
right now. Magnus Carlsen. I always thought that was a cool name.
Ultra Magnus. Let's have a quick 80% fact before we get out of here.
This then you want my sports story.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, please, your sports story.
Did I tell you that I'm going to a big football match this Friday?
What's your big football match you're going to?
I'm going to the second leg of Charlton versus Doncaster.
That is huge.
It's huge. Andy knows because he's a football fanatic like me.
Touchdown.
So what can I... Maybe people can send these in too. What can I chant at the match to give the impression that I'm also a football fan?
Are you sitting in the Charlton end?
I will be, yeah.
I mean, they're called the Addicts, if you didn't know that.
Red Army, I've heard.
Yeah.
Red Army.
Me, yeah.
Red Army. So like a communism thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've never actually been to see a Charlton match, so I don't really know what they chant. But you know, there's always the kind of... It'll be like the Charlton Athletic FC are by far the greatest team.
Let's go, Charlton.
No, that's a very American.
Do you not have ones like that?
No.
Charlton. Yes.
It's a new day.
If there's a corner.
It just makes me think of in I Love You, Man, where he's going, "Here we go, Galaxy, here we go." Do that one. Here we go, Charlton, here we go.
Yeah, I'll try and do some wrestling chants at a football game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is all, fight forever, football ever. Right, let's have this very quick 80% fact before we get out of here. This comes in from Luke Chador, who says, "As we all know, if you inhale too much industrial glue, you can get high from it. One of my friends claim, however, that you can eat this glue, industrial strength, mind you, and still feel the same effects. He claims he's tried this before, but I highly doubt it." I'm going to put in, we are not condoning this. Do not try this at home. Absolutely,
like
100% do
idea.
Not try this at home. sorry, Luke, for that total legal copy of that movie I sent you. That's from Bernard. He's the one who sent us. We got time for one more?
No,
how are we looking for time, Randy?
It's one minute to three.
Okay, in which case, we need to get out of here then. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT review, which might be with Chopper or with Ollie Davis, because Laurie might not be around if he's not well.
The sick bug has been passed round.
Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.